Hare Krishna, Vishnu Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I welcome you enthusiastically to this episode of the Gora Meditation. We are in this series already. Let me look in our 20th episode. The Gora Meditation, as you know, is a program that brings us in contact with the most, let us say, recent incarnation of Lord Krishna, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today I found objection about Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Madhvacharya mentions that one of the offenses against God is to ascribe to an ordinary human being the title God. In other words, make man into God. And the question is asked, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu maybe only by his followers worshipped as God? I was very happy to find an answer to this question in really the one of the oldest and original Vedic scriptures, the Atharva Veda, where the Lord is saying, I will appear in Kali Yuga at the banks of the holy river Ganga. And what I shall do is, I will renounce the world later, and I will spread the chanting of the holy name. So that Kali Yuga, which is so overpowering and big, will become small and lose its influence. Today, we will follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and move along his trek through South India. And we will come to really one of his hidden mysteries, that is how he gave initiation to great devotees even after his disappearance. See, in Gaura meditation, it is always my endeavor and my effort to convince every one of the listeners that now, right now, today, we can let Lord Chaitanya appear in our mind and heart, and in this way get the mercy or get the benefit of a direct encounter with the Lord. As Mahaprabhu continued with his pilgrimage, he eventually arrived in a holy place called Pandapur, at the banks of a river which is sometimes known as Krishna Veni or the Bhima River. And there he had darshan of the beautiful deity of Vital. It is a four-armed deity who is especially known in Maharashtra for his qualities of taking care of his devotees. He's now known as Vitoba, and there are many songs glorifying him. For instance, this song which I learned, Pandurangam Vitalnath Hari Narayan Hari Narayana. Many devotees have discussed when they came before this deity that somehow the Lord was very kind and merciful to them. Pandapur has also been visited by a great devotee who lived just within walking distance away from him. This great devotee is known under his name Tukaram, a very great spreader of the holy name. His old parents married him when he was still very young to his first wife, who developed a chronic disease. He was from a family of simple merchants, so they were not very wealthy. And his parents argued, this diseased wife is very nice, but she cannot bear him children, and we require children to help in the household so that there's enough to eat, really. Yes, children were in those old times helping on the fields and helping everywhere. But a terrible misfortune struck. The parents, old parents died. The first wife died, and Tukaram's oldest son died. He was so much shattered by seeing the misery of material existence that he retired for the mountains, where he stayed 7 days without food and cried to the Lord. The Lord was very kind to him at that time and appeared to him and encouraged him that, yes, your life is not blessed with wealth, but please know, return to your village and I will carry what you lack. And when Tukaram returned, he actually found all types of eatables which carried his second wife, he was married again, and his sons and family, what was left, you know, the children, through. It was a terrible time at that time for this part of India. There was the most dreadful famine. It was in 1629. The rain did not come for 3 years and everyone starved. At that time, Tukaram once saw a Brahmana. He had an iron chain around his neck and he dragged behind him a plow. This was the punishment for people who fell in debt and couldn't repay the debt. They were given a chain around their neck, quite cruel, and before the public eye, the whole village had saw them as they were pulling a plow behind them. Tukaram's heart was filled with compassion, and he gave him whatever was left of the family wealth. Whenever something came, money came, Tukaram was so compassionate that he gave it away, and as a result, his household was in abject poverty. Tukaram had three principles, and I want to glorify him a little bit because something very mysterious happened with him in relation to Chaitanya. He performed austerities with body, speech, and mind. With his body, he constantly did good to others. He went on pilgrimage, and his pilgrimage soon became quite famous because while he was walking barefoot, mostly to Vitalnaji or Vitoba, he would sing kirtan and dance, for losing himself entirely. It is described that he felt really like a married woman who had who was living in her in-laws' house, but who then left the home for a visit to her mother. Imagine someone staying at home in a different family than her own, the family of her husband, and then such a person goes home to her own mother. How happy this person is. So Tukaram was so happy in this kirtan because he felt, I am leaving my village, I'm leaving these difficult times behind, and I'm moving home. I'm going to my Lord and visiting him in the temple. His kirtans were infused with this love and enthusiasm, which made him really the very, very famous kirtan leader. During his kirtans, he would spontaneously break out in song, mostly four-liners, and he would sing about his Lord in the local language as it was understood at that time. I want to read or maybe even sing one of his songs to you a little later. But first, let us understand what he did with his speech, with his body. He did pilgrimages and he did good to others, and he sang kirtan. With his speech, he never ever mentioned one untruth. And he chanted day and night. And his mind was always fixed on Panurangam Vitanat. He always thought of him exclusively. He once described in a song that I am like an infant. You, my Lord, are like my mother. Just like an infant can only be satisfied by his mother, who nourishes and solaces him. In the same way, I can only be satisfied by you and nobody else. A question comes up. We heard that Tukaram was so charitable and he took care of the elder people of his village. He gave away the little grains which came when the rain returned, and was constantly in a state of poverty. Why did he do this, taking care of others, when his sole focus was on the Lord? Maybe some of you have listened and looked at the Compassion Tuesday emissions which we have done in the past, where we did compassion meditations and established how important for a spiritual person it is to be compassionate towards others. I learned something really nice from Tukaram about this. He said, when someone is exclusively dedicated to the Lord, he sees all living entities as guests of the Lord, parts of the Lord, family members of the Lord. And just like a woman will please the brothers and sisters of her husband in order to really give pleasure to her husband, the devotee of the Lord will try to be compassionate and serve all the living entities, knowing them to be part of Krishna's family, and in this way pleasing the Lord. So, yes, he was a devotee with his body, with his speech, and with his mind, a Param Bhakta, supreme devotee. Krishna saw his amazing qualifications, and once in a night he appeared to him together with another devotee called Namdev. Tukaram woke up and he saw before him his worshipable Lord, who had brought Namdev with him. Namdev had left his body long ago. He was a saint in the 14th century, 14 something. So Krishna looked at Tukaram and said, Tukaram, this devotee Namdev has given a vow to complete a large number of glorifications of me. However, half of it, or let us say a portion of these compositions which he wanted to offer to me, he kept in his heart. He became so full of love that he couldn't complete them. He went back to Godhead. And I want you to fulfill the vow of Namdev and complete these poems about me. I will give you the gift of poetry. And from that moment on, Tukaram began to compose the most beautiful songs. In one of his songs, he says, "My only value are my words. These are the only jewels which I have, the only cloth which I wear. These sacred words are the food which keeps me alive. These words are the wealth which I distribute to the people." Look at this, the words. They are God, because He gave them to me. He became very, very famous through his songs. Many, many people gathered at his door, and when he sang in the temple, there was an ocean of people, because Tukaram sang with the knowledge of the Vedas and the Puranas, although he had not studied them. He didn't speak Sanskrit. He spoke Maharati. But all the truth of the Vedas were in his songs. But he sang them also with such love and devotion that people who were in his sangha, in his association, and heard his songs, were absolutely becoming mad with love of Krishna. The local Brahmins became very jealous. Especially one Brahmana, his name was Rameshwar Bhatt, was thinking, "There cannot be two swords in one sheath, only one. So there cannot be Tukaram and others. It is not what should be. I should be the only one." And he brought a council of Brahmanas together and convinced them to call Tukaram before this council and forbid him to sing about the Lord in the local language. "Only Sanskrit hymns are allowed," they said. "And Tukaram, you must throw all your compositions in the Indrayani rivers and destroy them." They so much preached to this humble and sincere devotee that in the end Tukaram relented. He thought, "My words are not all right. They are not spoken in the local, in the Sanskrit language." Strangely, this discussion has been going on in the history of mankind. Even recently, there was this quarrel that the Bible, Holy Bible, could only be spoken in Latin. And when Martin Luther, a monk, translated the Bible from Latin into German, he was criticized and he was denied protection from the state. A declaration was made, wherever Martin Luther goes, he has no right of protection. He can be killed, he can be tortured, he is not under the protection of the state any longer. He's ostracized. This has been always in the intolerant, how do you call this, begotten religious elites. They were thinking, we have the only right. We priests, we knowers of Sanskrit, we Brahmanas. And they used all their heavy-weighted authority on Tukaram, who then, with tears in his eyes, took a huge, huge bundle. He had written a lot of divine words into the Indrayani River. Then he broke down crying. Some devotees came to him and said, "These are the words given by the Lord to you. They are not your own words. Isn't it an offense to destroy what is given by the Lord?" So Tukaram thought about this from this perspective. And yes, he went to the Indrayani River, and for 13 days he again fasted and he prayed to the Lord, "If it is true that you gave me these words and compositions, then please save this situation." As he was saying this, from the bottom of the Indrayani River, these manuscripts, and it was some thousands of them, came up. He went into the water, he took them, and listen to what happened. This is very famous. Not one of the sheets, I think palm leaves were used at that time, was destroyed. It was not even wet. They were all dry, and the ink from the plants were clearly visible. The Lord had shown him, "Yes, these were my words which I gave you. They are undestroyable. They are not a victim of this." When this Rameshwara but saw what had happened, he was really convinced that Tukaram was a divinely inspired being, and he begged to become his disciple, be forgotten. I will give you a little taste now of Tukaram's poesy, because you will understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed a miracle with him. God loves his dog. I'm not his slave. I am his darling, his beloved. He has taught me to sit at his side, to always be where he is. He keeps me under check. He only allows me from time to time a gnarl, like a dog does, you know. But when he takes his hand and he streichelt mich, he moves his hand over me to caress me, I feel like a saint. Isn't it a wonderful poem that I'm the happy beloved dog of the Lord? He had taught me to always stay by his side. But if he caresses me, if he shows me his mercy, then even I, the dog-like person, feel like a saint. There was one night in the year 1649, where Tukaram sat before the deity and he turned to this ocean of followers to say goodbye. And he sang, "You've brought me all in the direction of home. You have my blessings. May you attain the good and do your duty without falsity. You all brought me up. And then you gave me to that one, Lord. Now everything moves on as it should move. It is time for me to go. But I will travel together with the Lord of my breath. Don't be upset. Don't cry. Whoever came to me has attained what is important, the purity of the heart. This is our last meeting. What I leave behind are stories and words. Stories about myself and words I have given you. We all go back to the place from which we have come. I wish you well. God bless you. This was our only meeting. We will not be born again. Please, forgive me. I touch your feet as a last sign of my appreciation and humbleness towards you. And every time someone goes home, he sings, Vital, Vital, Sei Rama, Sei Krishna, Rama Krishna, Tuka leaves for home. He had told everyone to not cry, but they cried. Every year on that night, oceans of people come together to this place where Tukaram sang his last song. From there he went to the eternal world. Now, I want to surprise you. Tukaram was an initiated disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What? You must know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in this world from the year 1486 to 1534. Tukaram took his birth something like 80 years later, in the year 1608. How could Tukaram, who came 80 years or so later after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, be the disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? First of all, is this true? Srila Prabhupada writes about this in the Madhya Lila 9, text 282. He says, the city of Pandarapur is situated on the river Bhima. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated Tukaram when he visited Pandarapur, and thus Tukaram became his disciple. Tukaram Acharya became very famous in the Maharashtra province, and he spread the Sankirtan movement, you know, sing Rama, sing Krishna, all over the province. The Sankirtan party belonging to Tukaram is still very popular in Bombay and throughout the province of Maharashtra. His Sankirtan party exactly resembles the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sankirtan party, for they chant the holy name of the Lord with Mridanga and Karatala. I found, I had read this many years before, and I thought, really? But How is it possible? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, did he return after he had left the planet? And did he sit with Tukaram? Then I found an old document. In this document, Tukaram describes, it's one of his songs, that one morning, as he was looking over the landscape, he heard sounds of cymbals and drums, karatas and madanga. Then he saw flags behind the hill. You know, that's the first thing he saw, the flags. And then he saw a huge Sankirtan party led by a golden dancer who was dressed in golden dress also. And the Sankirtan party was led by another personality who had a bluish dhoti. And they danced and they sang, and everyone was in the ecstasy of love of God. That is the vision of Tuka. So his initiation took place in a mystical, in a spiritual way. And that gives me and all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the hope that Gauranga is eternally there, and he can appear, or he can arrange the life of his devotees, even though he had disappeared by material calculation in the year 1534. He is eternal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tukaram, I wanted to just say, spoke about the main contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is chanting Hari's name in his singings. He said, "The name of Hari reduces the most evil karmas to ashes, and it reveals the essence of the Atma's bliss, you know. That I have realized, and I've become fully contented with beholding and performing Nam Japa. Now there's no need for austerities or going into the forest. In the face of Nam Japa, Kali Yuga becomes a dwarf and loses all its power." He said many things about the holy name. "The name is sweeter than nectar. It increases devotional love." And someone who has this love will have a shining body. it instantly destroys the three sufferings or three pains. Many songs. I have to really select them and only give you a few. Yeah, so this is the beauty of our Tukaram and of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. He empowers the people he met when he was walking the planet, and he also empowers those who come afterwards. That is the reason why devotees of the Gaudiya Sampradaya will start their kirtan always with a verse glorifying their spiritual master, but then a verse glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. And in this way, they are empowered to do extraordinary work. Now, I have another example here of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing after his time, when he, how do you say, when he had already left the planet since long. I have an example of the 18th century. It is regarding Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had started a huge spiritual community. When he was, when his movement was in full swing, there were Namhata centers in practically all villages and towns, centers where people would come together, sing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Scholars became convinced devotees. Yogis became convinced devotees. Mayavadis, those who are believing in that the Lord is impersonal and without form, they became the devotees. Gradually, assemblies of Vaishnavas were there in all the big cities and so on. And everyone was overwhelmed by the sweetness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then this movement crashed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this, the smarta brahmanas, these brahmanas, we spoke about them earlier, who believe the Lord can only be glorified in Sanskrit. They objected to the Bengali songs which were sung about the Lord. Many different groups sprang up who were opposed to loving devotion. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I saw all this, my heart began to break in many pieces. I was searching for the cause of this and came across a verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Kala Kalir Balina Indriya Varini Varga. The age of Kali is formidable, and the senses of the human beings are very powerful. Now the path of devotional service is covered with millions of thorns. Where shall I go? What shall I do? I'm completely helpless without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So feeling like this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur left the city of Calcutta, and he went to the town of Jagannath Puri or Purushottam Kshetra at the banks of the ocean. And there something very wonderful happened. He was so distressed. He said, I must find the Lord. Only the Lord can help me. And one day he was rolling in desperation on the beach of Puri, you know, just next to the ocean. And at that time, I will read now in his own words, the Lord informed me. O well-wisher of the devotees, may you obtain peace. The nature that the living entities have developed according to their old karma, from birth to birth in this world, influences them to engage in materialistic activities. Until the desires that are opposed to devotional service are destroyed from the heart, no amount of good instruction can bring any auspiciousness. Your discussions and preaching will therefore not bear any result. My order to you now is that you live here at the place where I kept my dear Haridas And where I loudly chanted the holy names of the Lord, you should constantly sing the glories of the holy name for the benefit of the fallen souls. As a result, the faith of the people will return. I like this so much. Very often we come to the edge of our abilities. Very often what we started with enthusiasm begins to crumble down. It could be marriages. There are so many divorces which I hear about. It could be projects which we started. It could be the temples which we opened. It could be so many things. And then, although people were able to walk in the spiritual path for some time, the old karmas come up again, and then they are returning to their previous ways. The Lord told Bhaktivinoda the solution to this. Only the chanting of the holy names is purifying the heart. It's the same message he gave to Tukaram. And Tukaram repeated, you know, the chanting of the names burns all these karmas to ashes, so that Kali Yuga is practically reduced to a small dwarf who's not so strong. And he also said, you should chant not only to purify your heart, you should do so to purify others' heart. Pray to them in the spirit of compassion. We were talking about this earlier, that the devotee sees all living entities are part and parcels of Krishna. And the devotee does something to benefit these people, to move up, so to say, to jump over their karmic situations, to again become absorbed in deep, essential spiritual life. This is also why we talk about Lord Chaitanya. This is why we have Gaura meditations, because the idea is that by the help of the divine avatar and by his message of chanting the holy name, everything becomes glorious. And the clouds that again and again tend to cover again our consciousness are going away. I would like to do this now. I would like to bring you into a meditative state so that you can absorb the chanting. This is now the time to find a good place before your computer or your laptop or wherever you view this. We will now go into a beautiful application of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Tukaram and we will go into Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We will in a moment chant in a deeply absorbed and meditative way. Let us start by sitting properly, by doing a few deep breaths. If you wish, you can close your eyes
And whenever you breathe in, breathe deep, deep into your heart. Try to feel your heart as you breathe in deep. As you continue to breathe deep, relax your body. Breathe in even deeper and relax your lower body. Smooth and equal inhales and exhales. Relax your upper body. And go still deeper in your heart. That's a beautiful prayer. Oh my Lord Chaitanya, please show your mercy. I'm calling out to you now. Please be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of my heart. May Lord Chaitanya who is the king of dances appear splendidly in my heart. He is the perfect incarnation of pure love of Krishna. This movement of chanting the holy names has brought peace and spiritual brotherhood to the entire world. He appears like an overflooding ocean of mercy. He is the friend of all the souls. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for participating so nicely in this Gora meditation. Today we actually got, I think, great reason for hope that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may have left, his presence is not locked into the history books or into the sacred books that describe his life and teaching. No, he is present always. Time is not of influence, and he can be contacted. For instance, before we chant our rounds or our kirtans, and we can feel his presence in the heart, as Narottam Das Thakur had sung, "Please appear in the temple of my heart." And as this beautiful meditation from Raghunath. Raghunandan Thakur. This was Raghunandan Thakur's meditation, you know, where we heard that, yes, Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement brought peace and happiness to the people of this world. We will have a wonderful event tomorrow in a yoga studio where we will bring the holy names to these wonderful searchers and people. And then we have one right in the center of Berlin on Sunday. We will post on the social media some clips and some, let us say, snaps, little videos from these events. Yes, before I let you go, I want to make an announcement. In 20 days, I think you have heard, the month of Kartik comes. It's a month when the layers of the universe are making an opening so that a lot of Kripa Shakti, spiritual energy, comes to all of those who do simple spiritual observances during these times. So during this time, like all the years, I will accompany you through the month, through four to 5 minute long Kartik inspirations that will be daily found on the internet. These are inspirations which will give you little small guidances what you can do to really attract a maximum amount of spiritual blessings during this month. See, how far can we reach on our own steam? Not so far. We always will come to our own limitations. But if we can surrender to our spiritual practices, especially in the months of Kartik, we are lifted beyond these limitations, and we can feel it. You will experience it. Thank you very much for listening. The next Gora meditation will happen after the month of Kartik. Stay tuned in the social media. It will be something in the middle of November. They will start again. And I wish you a wonderful time. May our lives be blessed, and may we be able to see the Lord's presence in our life. Hare Krishna.